Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Nice. Well, I hope you guys are doing well today. I get a little nervous sometimes speaking, and It's not because I'm worried about looking like a dork, you know. Got over that a long time ago. I got over that when I was 19 years old and I was speaking in front of all my peers and they were making fun of me the whole time. So I was like, you know what, just can't worry about that anymore. But I get nervous because I feel like God gives me something that's just, it's special. And it's good. And I feel like I'm not like I'm Moses, but I feel like Moses. I feel like I was up on a mountain and God wrote something really important on these like giant rock tablets, whatever those are. And I feel like if I'm walking down the mountain, like I just don't want to like trip and fall and those break. You know what I'm saying? So with that, I need your help today. See, when we come to church, it's not about, it seems like it's about somebody that's up here telling you what's up, right? Like that's what it seems like. Like, hey, I got it all figured out, guys. I got it all figured out this morning, and I'm going to give you all the secrets. That's not how I see this. I see this as family that's together. And we're going to put some work together this morning, right? So, if you're here this morning and you're willing to put some work in, because how often, let's be honest, how often do you sit and think about your life? How often do you sit and think about where you are with God? So, over here you sit a lot. Over here you're like quiet. All right, I get it. Like, we're all in different places, right? So today's message isn't just a message. This is a starting point for you to do some serious work on your life, all right? Let's pray, and I believe God's going to do something pretty amazing. But you have something to do with it as well. Father, we just thank you for who you are. Lord, let us think about that for a moment. We're so used to thinking about who we are. We're so used to thinking about our lives, our needs, our wants, the things that we don't have, our inadequacies. We think about our lives a lot. But Lord, I pray that every single person that's listening to this online, every single person that's listening to this at a campus, every single person that's here this morning, we would all lay that down for a moment. And Father, we would recognize who you are, that you are huge. You are everything. And you love us. You even say that we're your own children. And so let us breathe easy today. I pray that burdens would be lifted. I pray that courage would be filled up and it would push fear out. I pray, Lord, that you would just give us a calm and let us know that you are here and that you are good and that you are with us. And if you're with us, Lord, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing can be against us. In Jesus' name we pray. All right, so I'm not usually a prop guy, but today I've got a prop. So let's imagine that this glass here represents everything you could be, your potential, your entire life, right? Like everything that you could be. God created you for a purpose, to be here, to be now. He gave you talents. He gave you gifts. He put you in social circles, right? So imagine that this right here is all of your potential. And then this water represents your life. Okay? So when you look at this, I'm going to ask you the question that you think I'm going to ask you. Is it half full or is it half empty? And I want you to think about it. Don't answer it. Okay, don't answer because this is a trick question. I'll get to that in the end. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Just think about who you are right now, your character, your attitude, the amount of times that you feel like you do well in life, how well you're doing at your job, how well you're treating people, how well you're treating your spouses, how much you love God, right? Like if there's a metric to judge your life on, it would be that. Like how much do you love God and how much do you love the people around you? Like are you living up to your potential, right? And that's a easy question to ask, and immediately I think we all know somewhat where we stand, right? But we all stand in different places in here. And that's what's hard about speaking to a large group of people is I don't know where you are in life right now, right? Like, if this is your potential, some of you guys might be barely surviving. Like, you might be barely in survival mode. You might have had a tragedy, something crazy's happened. There might not be any tragedy at all, but you're just doubting everything for some reason in your life. Who knows? I have no idea where you're at, but you might be in survival mode. Some of you guys might be, you know, in 50-50 mode. You're okay. You can see that commercial where the doctor comes in, the doctor comes in and he's like, "Hey, I just got reinstated. You know, I'm gonna do the surgery now." And he ends up asking the guy, "Are you nervous?" And the guy's like, "Yeah." He's all, "Me too." It's a funny commercial. And then he goes on to say, like, okay is not okay. But the truth is, a lot of times in our lives, we find ourselves, we're okay, right? Like, we're not doing 100%, but we're okay. We're living. You woke up this morning. You made it to church. If you're lucky, you had coffee back there. Like, you're okay, right? Like, you have something. Things are good. And a few of you guys are just on a high. And if you're not bipolar, you're just doing well, right? Like you, sorry if you have bipolar, right? It's a serious thing, but all of us have a little bit of that, right? Like occasionally things are just going really well, whether they're not or not, you just feel good. I'm not going to lie, like today I feel great. I feel like things are good in my life. It's my 13th year anniversary today, which is amazing. Thank you. So tonight, I'm not going to be here for those of you that are coming to Sunday nights. I apologize. I'm going to be with my wife hanging out with her. But it's also my dog's birthday, which is the weirdest thing. My dog, and this is not a joke. I had two of them, but one passed. But my dogs were actually born on my wedding day. It's the weirdest thing. So I have a 13-year-old lab. I've got a geriatric situation with a dog. At home right now. He's like, he almost died a couple weeks ago. It's crazy. But anyway, he's doing good. He's alive, and we're going to have a birthday party for him, and then we're going to hang out with my wife later on. Never done that before. Usually our anniversary takes precedence, but this year it's all about him because he's probably going to die. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not being insensitive. I'm just being a realist. He's 13. I mean, come on. It's a lab. So again, I don't know where you guys are at. Today's message is called the deficit factor. The truth is that no matter how well you're doing today or how poor you're doing today, there's a deficit. There's something missing, right? And we've been taught that we should just ignore that. We should just ignore the deficit and focus on the good, right? And I think that that is good to an extent. But I'm here to tell you today that who you aren't is just as important as who you are. John the Baptist said these words. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." He must increase, but I must decrease. So John the Baptist actually understood the importance of becoming less. He understood the importance that if you become less, then he will become more. Right? And that's where this message comes from. We all have a deficit, but that's okay. So I'm going to give you guys four reasons why deficits matter today. All right? And these are important. I think the last message I did was the case for darkness or something like that. So I'm in a weird place these days. But it's because I see this world that we live in, this social media, Instagram world where everything seems so perfect, but it's all a lie. Everything is not perfect, and that's okay. It's okay that everything is not perfect. And I'm going to prove this to you through Scripture today. So the first point that I'm going to make about deficits and why they matter is your deficit keeps you humble. Humility is very, very, very underrated. It really is. Humility is a very powerful, powerful thing. So here's the thing about humility, about being humble. There's two different types of humility, right? There's the type that you choose, and then there's the type that chooses you. I'm just going to give you guys a hint today. I'm going to tell you that the type that you choose is much better than the type that chooses you. Because if you don't choose to lay your life down, and when I say humble, okay, I'm not talking about thinking less of yourself. I'm talking about thinking of yourself less. That's what humility really ultimately is, right? It's not thinking that you're less of a person. It's realizing that you're a child of God and you're in need, that you're somebody who is powerful, but you're powerful because of who God created you to be, because of who he is, right? So humility is really important, and I'm just going to encourage you guys to choose this. Look at Romans 12:3. It says this, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself." Now, it says man, but culturally they would have just written men, but now in 2019 it would have said men and women, so you're not off the hook. "Not to think more highly of themselves than they ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So what Paul is saying here is just think about who you are, but also think about who you aren't. Who you aren't matters. It just does. I kind of think that this idea of telling our kids that they can be anything that they want to be is one of the biggest lies that I've ever heard. Some of you guys don't like that. In fact, I have good friends that argue with me about this. I think that you can live up to your potential, and your potential is probably way further than your imagination could even go. Like, your potential is probably huge. But Anything? If you're born 4'2" and you've got a genetic disorder that causes you to eat a lot and you got some problems, you're not going to be an NBA star, right? Like, that's just the truth of the matter. But you might have something else to give that is way bigger than being an NBA star, right? You just don't know what God has planned for you, but God has a plan for you. I've been doing a study lately on the idea of predestination, and I'm not quite ready to talk about it yet. It's a lot. There's a lot there, and that's like talking about opening up a can, dude. The predestination thing. Whew, if you guys have ever had discussions with people, it gets really ugly really fast. But one of the definitions that I read about predestination is that it's not that God has a specific narrow plan that if you don't follow it, you're out of his will. The idea with predestination is that there are parameters that God sets, right? Like there's these parameters, and he lets you live within those parameters, and he lets you grow within those parameters. And there's a lot of choice, and there's a lot of free will in that, and there's a lot of options. And it depends on like how hard you work, and it depends on what you put into your life in order where you end up, right? But ultimately, God will keep you within those parameters because his ultimate will has to be done. And it's really interesting. It's a really interesting idea. But I don't understand why. Let's put it this way. When we have too many options, right? When we have way too many options, we start to get paralyzed with our decisions. Think about the vitamin aisle at like the health food store. Have you guys ever been in there just like looking and looking and looking and looking, and you're like, I have no idea what I need. I think I need everything. I think I need every bit of this. Can I get one of everything? Is that an option? Because it's a mind blow. But then you go to In-N-Out and you're like, gee, easy, burger. So what I'm saying is in life, when we narrow down who we are, when we realize who we are in God, we're going to find out that we are much bigger and much better than we could even imagine ourselves to be, but it's within God's plan, not within whatever the internet can teach you. You see what I'm saying? Let that sink in for a couple hours. The next one is your deficit keeps you in need. Need is a good thing. Need is a crucial part of being human. Crucial. You wake up in the morning and you need to use the restroom. You wake up in the morning and you need to drink a glass of water. You wake up in the morning and you need to eat some food. You need to breathe air. You have need every single day of your life. And our needs go on from there and they get bigger and bigger and sometimes they're huge, right? But being in need is such a beautiful thing. Look at 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. Paul has this thing that he calls it the thorn in his flesh. We're not really sure exactly what it is, but it says this in verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And the word originally was to torment me. I'm not sure what it says there, but the word was, yeah, it says torment there. In my Bible, it says buffet. But to torment me, okay? So Paul was given this thing to torment him, to keep him from exalting himself. Because it was really important that he didn't exalt himself. It was really important that Paul understood when he was preaching and speaking that people understood that he was saying that the power doesn't come from Paul. It's not Paul. It's not Ron Vietti. It's not Paul. It's God, right? It's not the pastor that's up here. It's God. And my dad is awesome with that. He taught me that. But the truth is, anybody that stands up here, they're here because God has allowed them to be up here, right? And so the power is with God. Anyway, side note. Verse 8, concerning this, I entreated the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So Paul's like, please, God, if this can leave me, that would be great. Like this issue I have, if it would leave, that would be awesome. Please, God, once, please, God, twice, please, God, 3 times. Then Paul drops it. Then Paul realizes, you know what? This isn't moving. This isn't happening here. So it must be God's will. And it says in verse 9 that he has said to me, okay, Paul's saying that Jesus has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, power, power is perfected in weakness. Power is perfected in the deficit. Power is perfected in what we don't have and who we aren't. This message, I don't know if you're getting it, but this is about grace. It's about who Jesus is. It's about what he's done for us. The third thing is your deficit keeps you close. Keeps you close. Keeps you close to God. One of in this week's readings, for the Bible readings, if you're following that, Psalm 51 came up, and this is one of my favorite psalms in the world. This is King David, and he wrote this psalm, or he spoke this psalm at a time after he had sinned really greatly. He had committed adultery, which led to murder, which eventually led to him losing his own son. It was like one bad decision led to a lot of tragedy. And he's a broken man, but yet he's also a powerful king. A very broken man, but a very powerful king. And he writes this. He says, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions." He says, I know my transgressions. I know my deficit. I know where I'm messing up. I know what I don't have. I know that I am not worthy of being who God has called me to be. I know it. I know it. I know exactly who I am. And he continues and he goes on. And he says, "Against thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in the sight." In other words, it doesn't matter what Facebook says. It doesn't matter what Instagram says. It doesn't matter what your neighbors might think or what you think your neighbors think, because the truth is your neighbors aren't thinking about you at all. They're thinking about their own selves and what you think about them, right? So he's worried not what people around him think, right? He's not worried about what you and I think. He's worried about what God thinks and what God thinks only. So he goes on. He says, And done what is evil in thy sight. And so thou art justified when thou dost speak. So God is justified when he says, hey, son, you did wrong. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth. It goes on and on and on. You guys can read it. In verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart. God, that's where it starts. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Verse 12 says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. He understands who he is, and he understands who he isn't, but he also understands who God is, and that God is the restorer. God is good. He loves you. You might be really messed up. I mean, really, like you might have some serious issues. You might be here today, and you're like, I don't know why I'm here today. But maybe you're here today for someone else that's a little goofy. A little messed up himself to tell you that you're in the right place. You're in God's living room. And God doesn't call you to be perfect to walk into his living room. He calls you into his living room so he can perfect you, so he can spend time with you. And that's what he does. The last point is why deficits matter is Romans, or it's going to be in Romans 12 also, but your deficit keeps us together, okay? Keeps us together. Because when we're in God's living room with him, well, guess what? We're together, you and I. And God's plan is for us to be together. We have this fantasy that we love where we go and we'll watch a movie or read a book, and we love this idea of the superhero, right? We love this idea of someone who can just save everyone, who can just do everything, who just has all the strength and all the might. And we love watching these movies, but I don't think that we love the idea of the superhero because we want to be saved by one. I think we love the idea of the superhero because we want to be one. But the truth is, superheroes, if you look at the movies and you read the books, they're always alone. They're always alienated. Right? And so there's like this fantasy of this alienated, alone person who's just going to come out of, because they have some special power, they're going to come out of their alienated world, their alone world, they're going to come out and they're going to save humanity, then they're going to go back into this alone world. When was the last time, let me ask you guys this, when was the last time you went up into the mountains, deep into the Sierras, right? And you found a random cabin up there, and you went up there and knocked on the door, right? Who do you guys think is going to open the door? You think it's going to be Clark Kent? Nope, it's going to be some weird mountain dude. The long beard who probably doesn't even talk. When you're alienated, you start to develop dysfunctions. That's the truth. We're called to live in community with each other. Right? So Romans 12:3, as I read earlier, was you ought not to think more highly of yourself, right? Remember that verse. Verse 4 says, for just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. So it says, in verse 3, it says, don't think more highly of yourself. And in verse 4, it goes on to talk about how you're a part of the church, how you're a body part of a bigger body. So the hand can't say, hey, head, I can be a better head than you, so I'm going to be the head. And foot, I can be the better foot than you, so I the hand, am going to be everything. That doesn't work, right? The hand's got to be a good hand. The head's got to be a head. The feet have to be a feet, right? Like the body has to work together, and each part has to do their part. And so when you have a deficit, when you aren't everything, then guess what? That enables you to be part of a bigger scheme, to be a part of the church. And when all of us together, with our deficits, get together, we create a body with Christ, right? And that's how it works. That's how it works. It's pretty simple, right? How do you see this? Is it half empty? Or is it half full? Answer is both. It's half empty and it's half full. And that's the beauty of who you are and who God is. Right? So that's it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, without you, we might be in big trouble. I think we would. But with you, Lord, we're whole. So Father, I just pray that if anybody's here this morning who has never committed their lives to you, who realizes that there's a deficit in their life, but they've never fully committed their lives to you, I pray, Lord, that you put it on their hearts to do so. Today, not tomorrow. Pray they would do so today. And if that's you, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up right after service, come up and get prayer with one of these leaders in the church. Get prayer from one of these folks up here and tell them that. You don't have to talk to them, but it helps, okay? It does. It really does. If you want to just do it on your own, that's fine too, but it really helps to talk to these people and they can help you work you through the beginnings and what to do next. So if that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. Just walk right up here right after service, all right? Other than that, you guys can say amen. We love you guys. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is our